woman or a man. She was the kind of woman that a man could crave, from a high-heeled shoes to a permanent wave. Except maybe she was needing a shave. Was she a woman or a man? To dance, and I took her by the hand. She held me so tight, it was hard for me to stand. Built like a lumberjack, I couldn't understand if she was a woman or a man. Well, I walked her home, it was 4:15. My heart was thumping as we dug in the door. And then when she kissed me, I thought I was sure if she was a woman or a man.
Hello, welcome to Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle. On last month's edition of the show, I did a special feature called Gender Benders. And when I finished, I realized that I had so much fun doing it and had so many recordings I wanted to use but couldn't, that I decided for this month's show to do Gender Benders Part 2.
She stole my wallet and she knocked me off my feet. She tied on her roller skates, made a retreat. All I found was a blonde wig lying in the street. Was she a woman or a man? Well, I don't care if she seemed unkind. She stole my heart and she rubbed me blind. I love her so much that I still wouldn't mind if she was a woman or a man.
So on tonight's show, you'll get to hear more drag artists and transgendered artists, and a few things that appeal to my twisted sense of humor. It won't be boring. The song I played for the intro is another one of those straight man faces gender confusion songs. It's called Woman or a Man, and it was by folk artist Richard Thompson, and is from 1984. Musically, that song segues nicely into this next one. It's from 1998, and is by Ruthie and the Wranglers. It's called He's a Honky Tonk Man Who Wants to Be a Honky Tonk Woman.
Honky tonk man, but now he's a honky tonk woman. When the mirror looks back and he sees a real woman, and he says, "Hot damn, now I gotta go out and find me a
With the In the Wranglers, I'm jumping back to 1974 to a folk song I think is pretty neat. It's by an English folk artist named Richard Diggins. Here is Drag Queen Blues.
My friend George is a drag queen called Nancy. Pray tell me, which are you tonight? If you're George, let's have a game of snooker. If you're Nancy, let's turn out the lights. But George is a foreman in a coal mine. The changes when the hooter goes at five. From a snooker playing friend of yours truly, to a man I would like to make my wife. For Nancy brings me midnight satisfaction and stays with me until the morning light. Then he's off to his work down a coal shaft, where he ain't such a delicate sight. Oh, Nancy, you're the girl that I think of. But George, I know she's part of you. But it's Nancy, not you, that I fancy. Tell me, George, tell me, what can I do? I'm in love with half a man, that's a lady. And the half that ain't no lady is my best friend. Nancy, I would like to share my name with. But George is not the type I could offend. So George, take off your dress, put on your trousers. I've gotta shake your Nancy from my head. So tonight, I am dining with another. One half's called Frida, and the other half is Fred.
That was Richard Diggins. In the mid-60s in the U.S., the Beatles struck the music world in 1964, and the hippie movement wasn't far off. All this contributed to long hair for men. And this was commented on in a song from the fall of 1965 by the Barbarians, called Are You a Boy or Are You a Girl? I'm going to play for you the first verse of that song, and then jump about 20 years to a hard rock version of the same song by probably the leading transsexual rock artist.
You look like a girl. I see you walking down the street in your hip hugger trousers and your psychedelic time. You got your hair teased up in the sky like Dusty Springfield, and you got all your fingernails painted bright red. Are you in Hanoi Rock? Are you a boy? Tell me, or are you a girl? Wear your dress like that, show to look just like a good ooh, just like a good ooh. You may be a boy, but hey, you look like a girl. Hey, you look like. You look like a girl. Hey, you look like a girl. Hey, you look like a girl. You may be a boy, but hey, you look like a girl. Yes, you do. Hey, you look like a girl. 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 You may be a boy, but hey, you look like a girl.
That was Jane County and the Electric Chairs. Jane's been a hard rocker for a long time. In the mid-70s, she was attracting attention under the name Wayne County, but changed the name to Jane. She's still releasing records and had one last year called Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
I don't think that's funny.
Yes, that was the voice of Betty Davis. And if you stick around for the second part of the show, I'll be featuring a sort of battle of the Betty Davis impressions, all done by drag artists. There are a number of songs in my collection about cross-dressing or about a man having an operation to become a woman, but this is the only one I can think of that is about an FTM, a female-to-male transition. It's from the point of view of her boyfriend, who doesn't like it. From 1996, the group Undercover Ska sings My Girl Became a Dude.
A girl, and I was your man. We were so in love, we'd made our plans. How was I to know what was in your mind? I was unprepared for the changes I would find. You cried to me the names of the doctors that you see. Mistakes like this one can be undone. They put something there that I don't want. At night, I say my prayers and I hope it's gone. You became yourself, or so they say. If I kiss you now, they call me gay.
Muscles on your chest replace the softness of your breast. I hang my head and cry, I cannot love a guy. I'm living in a bad dream, saw my girl nude. I'm crying every day now, my girl became a dude.
Doctors put something there that I don't want. Every night I say my prayers and I pray it's gone. You became yourself, or so they say. But if I kiss you now, they call me gay.
When a man learns his one true love, its growing sideburns. It's useless to go on, my chain is now a charm. I'm living in a bad dream, saw my girl nude. I'm crying every day now, my girl became a dude. I'm living in a bad dream, saw my girl nude. I'm crying every day now, my girl became a dude.
And now, talk about another abrupt transition.
You must remember this. A kiss is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. These fundamental things apply. Gay, straight, or bi. Gay, straight, or bi. Now would it really scare us if Hanks could kiss Banderas just once before he dies?
Let's hope that's what the future brings as time goes by.
As time goes by.
Ellen kisses Laura Dern and networks celebrate.
Tom Selleck kisses Kevin Kline, no need to prove he's straight.
Richard Simmons gets a man,
and Dykes with kids can date.
Two moms and apple pie.
I'd like to wake one morning without parental warning as Bert and Ernie kiss goodbye. The world may someday welcome lovers.
Gay, straight, or bi.
That was the Kinsey Six, who billed themselves as America's favorite Jacapello beauty shop quartet. And I love that group. They've just released their third album, and they're all wonderful. That song was called Gay, Straight, or Bi, and was from their Boys to Girls album. Okay, here's a very stale plot for a Hollywood movie. An aspiring young rock star, Brian, and his manager, Reggie, win a trip to Hollywood. It seems to be their big break at last. Or is it? Rules of the contest demand that the winners must be a couple, so Reggie becomes Regina, and the farce goes on. The movie was called He's My Girl, and was from 1987. One reviewer said that the movie was all cross-dressed up with nowhere to go. The aspiring rock star was played by David Holliday, who really was an aspiring rock star. He's also the son of Johnny Holliday, who in France in the 60s was a real rock star. Anyway, David Holliday got to, or had to, sing the title song for the flick. Here's He's My Girl.
See you soon. Hey, this is RuPaul, and this music is making my hair curl.
All right, that was the real voice of RuPaul, but I fudged. She was not commenting on that last song. I got that from an interview CD that was made available to DJs in 1993, around the time of her album Supermodel of the World. So with that interview CD, I could pretend to be asking her, RuPaul, what does your name mean?
RuPaul mean boom shang lang, work that thing, honey.
And how tall are you?
Well, I tell you what, put a wig on King Kong, that's how tall I am.
Tell us about your first time in drag.
I remember the first time I put drag on, like in goddess drag. Oh, the response I got from people, men, women, children, birds hovering over the area. From that moment on, I was hooked. There was no turning back.
So, do you have any advice for young drag queens?
My advice to little bitty drag queens out there is learn how to do your makeup early, honey. Because the sooner you learn, the better your chances of being supermodel of the world. And I also say to all the little aspiring drag queens out there, learn you a skill, baby. You know, learn how to take a picture or tease a wig or learn how to bring something to the party so that when you get here, you can have something to share with the other children's.
I heard you're getting into the psychic friends business.
Yeah, honey, I'm trying to start up me a psychic drag network. See, if Dion and her friends can do it, I know all my drag friends can do it, okay? Where you call up and you can order the queen you want to speak to, whether she's sort of butch or femme, whether she's a top or a bottom. She can tell you what your number is, if you're going to find that dream date, or if you should wear a frosted lip paint color.
Why do you do drag?
Well, why do I do this? I mean, I realized early that I had a knack for entertaining people, and I used to actually do impersonations in the living room, in the kitchen for my mother, like Charo, and I do Cher, of course, and I do Tina Turner, which is very easy. It's like taking the broom and like flinging your hair around a lot, you know? I also do it because I look great in a pair of high heels and a wig. And also, I want to give something back to the world. I know that I enjoy it, and it's a great thing. It's really a positive thing. And of course, you know, my whole message is about learning how to love yourself and giving that love back to other people. Because if you don't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love somebody else? Answer me that. Can anybody? No, nobody can answer me that, because you can't. You can't do it. My message is all about that.
Okay, that's all the time we have. Are we still on for after the show?
Hey, good looking. Be back to pick you up later.
Oh, the magic of editing. Okay, time for a little PR. On my show, I play lots of obscurities, as I realize that you're not likely to hear most of these anywhere else. I want to mention that I set up a special webpage on my site for each show. In addition to being able to hear the show at any time, on the page you can see photos of the artists and recordings and view the playlist. And for some of the artists in the second half of the show, this will be even more interesting, because I'll be featuring a number of drag recording artists, and the album covers themselves are part of the enjoyment of hearing them. My website, logically enough, is at www.queermusicheritage.com. And this is a good time to remind you to be sure to listen After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Sunday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. Next, I've got a demo recording of a commercial for Lux Radio Theater from March of 1939. This was a practice recording for a commercial to be read later by the two young actresses in the popular radio series called The Brownings. But here it's read by two men, and the result, I think, is very funny.
In a moment, you'll hear Act Two of It Happened One Night, starring Clark Gable and Claudette Colbert. During our brief intermission, we bring you our favorite family, the Brownings. It's late at night, and the girls have come in from a date. They're getting ready for bed, I hope.
Gee, it was fun tonight, wasn't it, Midge?
I'll say. You know, Dot, I always sort of envy you when I see you at the crowd of people.
Why? What do you mean, Midgey?
Oh, it's just that you always look so pretty and fresh, and people sort of flock toward you like you were a magnet or something. They never do that with me.
Oh, now, Midge, you just imagine it.
Well, I'm too sleepy to think about it now. You about ready for bed?
No, not quite. I've got to lux my undies first.
At this hour? Goodness, why don't you skip it?
Oh, not on your life. Aren't you going to do yours?
Oh, I'm too tired.
Oh, but Midge, you must.
Oh, what difference does it make?
Oh, it's so much nicer putting on fresh things in the morning.
Well, just this once won't matter.
Oh, but Midge, dear, you're always saying that.
Now, see here, honey. You say you want heaps of friends and parties and fun.
Oh, yes, I do.
Well, believe me, daintiness has a lot to do with that. Here, give me your undies now, and I'll lux them with mine.
You angel. I'll do yours and mine both tomorrow night. Honest, I will. Oh, girls, it takes only a few minutes to lux your things after every wearing. A quick dip in Lux Suds removes every trace of perspiration and leaves things fresh and lovely looking. There's no harmful alkali, absolutely nothing in Lux to fade colors or hurt fabrics. You can use it safely for anything safe in water alone. So keep the generous large-size box of Lux Lace in the house all the time. And Lux under things after every wearing. Your dresses often. This dainty habit means so much to your happiness. Helps you stay sweet and lovable. A woman everyone admires.
Next up is a gender-bending song I've just discovered. It's from last year by a group called Lord of the Pants. I kind of like that name. From their CD, What Happens, here's the song, She's a Guy.
She comes to speak to me. She's looking so lovely. She asks me if I'd like to dance. Somehow I can't believe that anything should happen. I know where I belong, it's never gonna happen. She takes me as she goes, we're dancing real close. I see a rising in her pants. I'm hoping that she's just got something in her pocket. I'm praying that she's just got something in her pocket. Oh no. But she's a guy.
That was She's a Guy by Lord of the Pants. Now for the old drag part of the show. I guess I should mention that when I picked these artists, it wasn't necessarily because they were the funniest or gave the best impressions, but it could also be because they had long careers and were very popular appearing in clubs around the country. And as one of my goals is to preserve our culture, this is about the only place on radio or on the internet that you'll hear them. One of these popular female impersonators was Jimmy Calloway. He was a staple at the famous Club My Oh My in New Orleans. He only had one recording, and it was a 45, and is very rare. It was probably from the 60s. It had a picture cover that on one side shows him in drag, hanging from a milk truck, with the caption, "Show me a milkman that wears high heels, and I'll show you a Dairy Queen." You can see this cover on my webpage. Oddly, that joke is not included on the record, which is titled Jimmy Calloway on Stage. Here's Jimmy Calloway.
Thank you very much. I was walking down Canal Street today, and a man come up to me and he says, "Pardon me, but where's the Canal Street Ferry?" I said, "I'm speaking. What you want to know?" I just came back from my vacation from Tennessee. I was on the train, and Jesse James robbed the train. He says, "I'm going to rape all you men and rob all you women." So this lady stood up. She says, "Oh, Mr. James," says, "you're all confused. You mean you're going to rape all the ladies and rob all the men?" So I said, "Sit down, you old bag, and let him rob the train the way he wants to." Scott Soldier went into the restaurant. The waitress, she says, "Tell me," says, "what do you wear underneath your uniform?" He said, "Well, why don't you feel?" She put her hand up there. She said, "Ooh, how gruesome." He said, "Yeah, feel again. It did gruesome." Here's a tune I hope you like. It's called "She Was Only a Fisherman's Daughter, but when she saw his rod, she reeled." Two girls were talking. One of them said, "Bessie," she said, "ain't that your husband in there in the bar room, the one what drinking all the beer?" She said, "Yeah, darling," says, "that's him." She said, "Well, why don't you cut him out from drinking the beer? Say, don't you know that takes all the lid out of his pencil?" She said, "Well, he don't do all my writing for me no how."
From Jimmy Calloway in New Orleans in the 60s, we're staying in the 60s, but jumping instead to New Zealand. Female impersonators were by no means an American phenomenon. England had a number of them, and on last month's show I played another New Zealand artist known as Diamond Lil. This time I'm playing Noel McKay, and I tell you, if you go to my website and see the photos, you'll agree he does not make a pretty woman. But his singing isn't bad, and I love that he didn't beat around the bush about using male-to-male pronouns. So here's Noel McKay singing "A Good Man Is Hard to Find."
My heart is sad and I'm all forlorn. My man's been cheating on me. I regret the day that I was born and every man I've ever seen. My happiness never seems to last more than a day. My heart is even breaking while I say, a good man is hard to find. I always get that other kind. Just when you're sure the boy is your pal, you turn around and find him fooling around some other sal. Oh, how you rave, oh, how you crave to see him way down deep in his grave. But if your man is nice, take my advice and hug him in the morning, kiss him every night, give him plenty of loving, treat that fella right, because a good man nowadays is hard to find. Yes, three girls, once I had a man all of my own, and since he's gone away, believe me, I miss him. You see, most girls nowadays have to kiss a man to hold him, but me, oh no, I have to hold him to kiss him. Oh, he wasn't much of a Mr. Culture, and he had a funny pan. He wasn't much of anything, but at least he was a man. And if he ever comes back to my little grass shack, I'm gonna hug him in the morning, kiss him every night, give him plenty of, I'll treat him right. Because a good man nowadays is hard to find. Girls, they say that opportunity knocks but once, and when that once is gone, sister, it's gone forever. So remember, girls, if you get a man of your own, there's just one but. Keep a smile on your kisser and your big mouth shut. I've learned my lesson. Everything's fine. If he ever comes back to me, I'll never step out of line. Because I know what to do. When the day is through, I'm gonna hug him in the morning, kiss him every night, give him plenty of loving, treat that fella right. Because a good man nowadays is hard to find, and vice versa, a hard man nowadays is good to find.
Okay, now I've got something you've likely not heard before. It's kind of a battle of the Bette Davis impersonators. On last month's show, I played a clip of Ty Bennett doing a sketch in which he played Bette Davis. This time, I've got four more, and they are among the best in the history of that genre. I'll give a little info about each of the four before I start. First is Arthur Blake. He was from England and was one of the leading impressionists of the 40s and 50s, and also did wonderful versions of Noel Coward, Jimmy Stewart, and Tallulah Bankhead. Bette Davis was said to have preferred his impressions of her. He recorded an album of his own in 1957, and in 1967 appeared on a Jane Mansfield album, where he did the voices of various stars. Blake will be followed by T.C. Jones. He also was very popular in the 50s and 60s, appearing in a couple of Broadway revues, the most famous being The New Faces of 1952. That was the same show that gave Paul Lynde his start. Jones appeared in the movies Promises, Promises, and the Monkees movie Head, and on television on Ed Sullivan, Albert Hitchcock Presents, and even on the Wild Wild West. He recorded two albums in the late 50s called Mask and Gown and Himself, and both included Bette Davis impressions. After T.C. Jones will be Charles Pierce. Pierce is one of the most famous of the female impersonators, although he preferred to call himself a male actress. He was perhaps the leading impersonator of the 70s and 80s. He appeared in the movie Torch Song Trilogy, and in numerous TV shows like Designing Women, The Dick Cavett Show, and many variety shows. He released only two albums, but there were several videos of his shows recorded. I featured him on my May of 2001 show, and you can go to my website to hear another very funny Bette Davis Joan Crawford sketch by him there. And finally, the last Bette Davis impression is done by a current artist. Jimmy James has been doing her act for a number of years and is famous for her Marilyn Monroe persona. She's appeared on a number of talk shows, and in the 90s recorded several dance records. The sketch you'll hear is from her 1999 album, The One and Many Voices of Jimmy James. So, are you ready? For about the next 12 minutes, you'll hear our most noted female impersonators do Bette Davis, from recordings ranging over 40 years. You can decide which one wins my Battle of the Bette Davis Impressions for you. First up, Arthur Blake from his 1957 album, Curtain Time, followed by T.C. Jones from his 1959 album called Himself.
Hello. I want to speak to Mrs. Janie Clarkson, please. Bette Davis calling. Hello. Hello. Hello, Janie. It's me, Beat. You didn't. You didn't. You didn't. Did you really? Peter, where did you see him? Dancing at the farmer's market. How gauche. Oh, there's so many things I want to ask you. So you ran into my former fiancé. You saw him dancing in some café. Gee, I haven't seen him in almost a year or so. And there's so many things I want to know. How did he look? Did he seem happy? Does he still have that gorgeous physique that started out so broadly and ended with those narrow little shoulders? Does he still have that weird pointed head? He always looked like a misguided missile. Where did we meet? It was in the tunnel of love. He was swimming upstream to spawn. And he did, darling. When we dried off, he took me to a bar for something to drink. He was always drinking scotch on the rocks. Then he would fall off the rocks and we'd have stingers on the floor. He loved a good stinger on the floor. He loved to read. He read everything. He always said a man's best friend was his book, outside of his dog. Of course, inside his dog, it would be too dark to read, wouldn't it, Chen? Not that I really care, our love affair could never really be. But how did he look? And did he ask about, I'm hysterical, me?
Now, I used to dream that I would discover a perfect lover
someday.
It's the wrong filter. I knew I'd recognize him if ever he came round my way. Now, I used to kind of fancy then he'd be one of those card-like kind of men, with a giant brain and with a noble head, like the heroes bold in those books that I've read. But along came Bill. He was an ordinary guy. Now you meet him on the street, you never notice him, his form and face, his manly grace. They're not the kind that you'd find in a statue, and I can't explain. It's surely not his brain that makes me thrill. 3, 4. Now I love him because he's wonderful, because he's just my Bill. Let's try the second chorus for laughs. Now he's just plain Bill. He's really an ordinary guy. He hasn't got a thing, not a thing. Poor Bill. And yet to be upon his knee. It's so comfy, it's so roomy, it's so natural to me. I hate that lyric. I can't explain. It's surely not his brain that makes me thrill. 7, 8. Now I love him because he's... I don't know. Because he's just... my, oh, what was his name again? Let's see, there was Tom, and there was George, and there was Paul, and there was Peter, and there was a repeater. Of course. My Bill, that's the end. Finish B flat chord.
That was Arthur Blake and T.C. Jones. Now here's Charles Pierce from his 1971 album, Live at Bimbo's San Francisco.
I remember a picture I made called Dead Ringer. I played twins, Margaret and Edie. Margaret was rich, Edie was poor. Tough. And I ran a dyke bar on Figueroa. But I killed Margaret because she had a lot more money. An excellent reason for killing anyone. And took her place. I was found out by Jim the detective, and I said, Jim the detective. Look, I'm not Margaret. I'm Edie. I'm Edie. Yes, and then, of course, we must do our quick scene from Baby Chain with J.C. Blanche! Blanche, if you remember, was a cripple in a wheelchair from Abbey Rents. The poor thing was all sort of gnarled up. I said, here, Blanche, here's your tin. Poor thing looked up and said, oh, Jane, look. There's an old dead bird on my tea tray. Yeah, it's dead. What did you expect it to be, Blanche, alive and kicking? Did you, Blanche? Oh, Jane, you're so cruel to me. Hey, Blanche, look under the tea cozy. Come on, look under the tea cozy. I got a real surprise for you. It's a joint. Jane, don't you remember the last time we got busted? They couldn't get my wheelchair in the paddy wagon. Yeah, I remember. There you were going down Wilshire Boulevard in tow. Then the rope broke. And you whipped right through the windows at Saks Fifth Avenue. I remember, Blanche, I remember. Do you remember a musical I was in long ago? I'm glad you do. I don't. It was called Two's Company. It was all about this woman walking along Polk Street late at night, watching all these men standing in the doorways. I suppose they were waiting for the stores to open.
Finally, here's Jimmy James, who starts out by making fun of Betty Davis' singing voice.
You see, I can sing too. So here I am at the post office cabaret. What a dump. All my life I've worked so hard to become a respected actress, and is this all I get? Yes. Don't take it personally, please. It's just that everywhere I go, it's always a dump. Yay. I've been to the Taj Mahal. What a dump. I've been to the Waldorf Astoria. What a dump. I've even been to the White House a long time ago. To visit Nancy Reagan. What a bitch. And I've even been to heaven. And guess what? Joan Crawford was not there. Pity, pity, pity. Well, she should have been nicer to me. Yes, you see, Joan Crawford and I did a movie together called Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. I played Baby Jane. She played whatever. And the most fun I ever had with Crawford was when I pushed her down the stairs. Thumpity thump, thump, thump. Thump. But I know what you're saying to yourself, but Betty, go easy on Joan Crawford. Easy. I know Joan Crawford is dead. She should be. And I know I should always only speak nicely of the dead. Well, she's dead. How nice. what you're saying to yourself, but Betty, you're dead too. Oh, no, I'm not dead. Not me. Because as long as there's a drag queen breathing, I'll always be here. Good night.
Well, I think Jimmy James is right. As long as there are drag queens, there'll be Betty Davis impressions. I don't know which one you like best, but I think I'm partial to Charles Pierce. Before I play my last song, I want to thank you all for tuning into this special show, Gender Benders Part 2. If you missed Part 1 last month, you can still hear it on my website at www.queermusicheritage.com. And if you have questions or comments about any of the music I've featured, please write to me at qmheritage@aol.com. At my website, you may also want to check out my August of 2000 show, which was my transgender music special. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston, and I'll be back on the fourth Monday of next month with another installment of Queer Music Heritage. And the fourth Monday of next month happens to be December 23rd, so that will be my annual Queer Christmas special, and I've got lots of surprises lined up for it, including another visit by Betty Davis. Back to tonight's show. I usually try to end my shows with something a little upbeat, but I'm making an exception this time in order to play a song about being a drag performer that is, perhaps in terms of pure artistry, the best one ever recorded. Charles Aznavour wrote and sings it, and in it he gives a gripping, melancholy look at the social alienation of the world of a drag artist. The song is called What Makes a Man a Man. He recorded it in 1972, and it became one of the staples of his act over the years. For those of you who haven't heard of him, Charles Aznavour is one of France's most celebrated singers. Few artists have attempted to record this song, although Mark Almond did a very decent version of it in 1993. It perhaps got more exposure during the 70s and 80s in drag shows, because a lot of the impact of the song is to see the visual performance that Charles Aznavour created. So picture this. In it, he starts out on stage in full drag and begins singing the lyrics of the song while sitting at a makeup table facing the audience. He proceeds to remove fake eyelashes, wig, and makeup, and scrubs his face clean. He dons a dress shirt and slacks. He puts on his eyeglasses and quietly stands and greets the audience as the superb actor and the man behind the illusion. So all this transpires slowly during the song, and you are left with the stunning impact of the transition between genders. I hope you can picture in your mind some of this as you listen to Charles Aznavour's What Makes a Man a Man.
My mom and I will live alone. A grand apartment is our home. In a fair home towers, I have to keep me company. Two cats, a dog, a parakeet, some plants and flowers. I help my mother with the chores. I wash, she dries, I do the floors. We work together. I shop and cook and sew a bit. Though mom does too, I must admit, I do it better. At night I work in a strange bar, impersonating every star. I'm quite deceiving. The customers come in without and wonder what I'm all about. But leave believing. I do a very special show where I am nude from head to toe. After stripteasing, each night the men look so surprised. I change my sex before their eyes. Tell me if you can, what makes a man a man? Around 3 o'clock or so I meet with friends to have a bite to eat. And conversation, we talk and empty out our hearts on every subject from the arts to liberation. We love to pull apart someone and spread some gossip just for fun, or start a rumor. We let our hair down, so to speak, and mock ourselves with tongue and cheek. And inside you,
So many times we have to pay for having fun and being gay. It's not amusing. There's always those who spoil our games by finding fault and calling names. Always accusing. They draw attention to themselves at the expense of someone else. It's so confusing. Yet they make fun of how I talk and imitate the way I walk. Tell me if you can, what makes a man a man? My masquerade comes to an end when I go home to bed again, alone and friendless. I close my eyes and think of him and fantasize what might have been. My dreams are endless. We love each other, but it seems the love lives only in my dreams. It's so one-sided. But in this life I must confess, the search for love and happiness is unrequited. I ask myself, what have I got, and what I am and what I'm not. What am I giving? The answers come from those who make the rules that some of us must break just to keep living. I know my life is not a crime. I'm just a victim of my time. I stand defenseless. Nobody has the right to be the judge of what is right for me. Tell me if you can, what makes a man a man?